Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 17th on the West Coast, now August the 18th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and here we are. Now, early Wednesday morning, and it appears that the powers that be would love to start a war in Iran. And based on the ship movements and the huge numbers of planes and battleships in the Persian Gulf area, it's amazing that this could be nothing other than a planned event, as Major General Smedley Darlington Butler wrote, "War is a racket." And they're just bound to destroy humanity and this planet however they can. Well, I had Charlie Giuliani scheduled, but we were not able to get in touch with him this evening. And I took the liberty to invite a good friend and guest who is a multifaceted individual. He's gaining quite a reputation as an herbalist. He is an environmental scientist. He is also a historian and an excellent musician. And he's my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Well, you heard my comment about what's going on in the Middle East. This is so scripted, it's unbelievable. I mean, we've been talking about this as an inevitability, and I actually said I feel that they have something planned for August 21st, and little did I know something came out yesterday that specifically said that Russia is gearing to have Iran's nuclear facilities producing enriched materials for bomb making by the 21st. I guess they have they're racing against the clock to get it done. And it was several months ago that I had predicted something would be up. And I know a few other people that feel that date was significant. Doesn't have to happen, but it certainly looks like that's their plan. Any comment?
Well, Don, I think you're right on the money there with it being scripted. It's very curious how this should be secret information that Russia is getting ready to set up Iran to produce this uranium, and that should be so secret that, you know, we shouldn't really be aware of it by now. Usually after the fact is when this information comes to the surface. So isn't it so strange and curious that the mainstream media is already on top of that? So it's clearly all scripted. No question about it. All the players in this game on both sides of the fence, whether they're communists or supposedly capitalists in the Western world, all these governments are under the control of the international bankster cabal, the Rockefeller Schwarzschild cabal. And so all these authorities in key government positions, whether it's in Russia, like with Putin, or even clearly the current ruler in Iran, they all are clearly following a script and being financed by these devil worshippers that are truly scum, the bankster cabal. And obviously a world war is necessary for them to consolidate their United Nations global agenda, just as it was stated by one of their leaders a long time ago, as you mentioned on Drew Rain's show a couple nights ago, and that was Albert Pike. So it looks like they're following that script for sure as well, Don.
Mm-hmm. That script, as I recall, was written on January, was it the 21st or 22nd of 1870. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
And it was the entire script for three world wars.
Right. That's right. And the third one would be more of a religious war. And that's exactly how they're playing us, trying to pit us as Christians against the Muslims. And of course, the Zionists are standing in the background and letting us hopefully go to town, wiping each other out. And they just come in and clean up the mess, wipe their hands, and then their agenda for global dominion will be finally realized by them. And that's what they're aiming for, that's for sure. And, of course, by constant prayer and by virtuous living, and, of course, that would provide people, if we all lived that way, with high level of intelligence where we couldn't be so easily duped. And then their plans would fall apart. So I'm still praying that that option is still viable for us down here on this planet.
Oh, certainly. You know, I don't give up the power of prayer at all.
No.
That's where our true power lies in
exactly
in realizing our connection with the creator of the universe, not the destroyer.
That's right.
It's very easy to see that that which is destructive is of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely, that, Don. When it's destruction,
with the exception of God's angels coming down and destroying the corruption.
Yes, exactly. This is this kind of destruction is clearly evil, where it's God's creation that's being destroyed here. People, animals, the whole ecosystem will be just totally decimated in with a major war, just like in World War One, World War Two. Just look at photos and films of all the battlefields. I mean, it's total destruction. It's like hell. And so, right, that all comes from evil. Whereas the sunlight destroys, but it only destroys things that are dead or dying. For example, when a branch falls off from its limb, then in a short span of time, it decomposes because of the sunlight having that effect. The sun sustains all life, but it destroys everything dead or dying. It annihilates it. And so that's God's activity, to sustain all life, and what doesn't have life, then it has to disappear. It has to be recycled back into the system. But this kind of destruction is clearly all evil, where nothing but pure, everything that's good, people, kids, animals, the whole ecosystem, just gets decimated. And for what? What? For nothing. Except for a few elite men with their selfish ambitions and pathetically evil ambitions to get their way on this planet. That's how despicable they are.
Yes. Now, I mentioned what's going on in the Persian Gulf region, and they're still lying about what the situation is in the Gulf of Mexico. There are other places that are experiencing oil well blowouts. There was some film a couple of days ago that just came out. I think it was on YouTube, where they were showing a well that that was spewing oil and gas 300 feet into the air above the top of the tower. The derrick, you know.
You don't recall where this is?
It seemed to me like it was somewhere down south. I can't recall if it was in Alabama or Louisiana, but that event was filmed. It was maybe a 2 or 3 minute video. It wasn't very long. And the person that took the film was narrating it. I thought, well, here we go again. Right. These events are happening around the planet, and they don't happen like clockwork unless intended.
Right.
Unless it's intended.
Absolutely.
So somebody's sending a message. There's one in China. There have been problems down in Australia. Monday, I was devoting about an hour of the show with Drew Raines on the issue of 1080 herbicide spraying in New Zealand. Have you heard about that? Or
no, I haven't, Don. Is this for crop spraying or?
Well, an herbicide will kill herbs and green plants.
Yes,
it's a poison.
Sure.
Why it's being sprayed? I couldn't tell you other than with the intent to kill plants and animals, and it's
right.
having a devastating impact on the wildlife in that region.
I mean, of course, these chemicals are used in agricultural.
First they denied that the spraying was going on. Then it was seen that they were spraying from a helicopter. That's basically has a tether attached to it with some sort of release container.
But are they at least over some farming area, so it looks like it's at least, quote-unquote, a justifiable activity, even though, of course, it's not herbicides, like you said, Don, are very toxic. And unfortunately, farmers today rely on them often, even though small operations today won't, because they're going to be more eco-friendly and they not only caring about the environment but also the food quality for the people that are going to and animals that are going to consume it. But in big operations they still depend on them. So can you recall whether or not that at least they're spraying it over an area that would justify, hey, that we're growing crops here and therefore we need to do this, or is it just over non-agro areas?
I would say it's over non-agricultural areas. We're talking about the forest, the hiking trails, the hills.
That's unbelievable.
The mountains, and they're finding deer that are basically hemorrhaging from all orifices of their bodies. Strange foaming of the mouth and inflammation and discharge of mucus, and it's really gross how they describe this. It's been denied that they're spraying the trails, yet there's a couple from Brazil that was on vacation that filed a complaint in this regard because they were hit head on. I mean, they got flack, let's put it that way. In reverse, they were just hiking and the lady actually is already suffering from endometriosis. So this is having an adverse impact on that and allergies that she has.
It's unbelievable. Why? You know, again, just proves how evil these dirtbags are. They're scum. No regard for anything decent that God has created. In fact, they hate it. And, you know, is it because they want to just cut off any kind of food source that people are relying on, and that's why they're doing all the spraying?
Yeah,
around the planet?
They're using New Zealand as a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were to just consider that's the only place anyone knows that this is going on, or at least that it's been reported to be going on, and the initial report from this Brazilian couple came out around the 20th of January. The story came out on the 21st. And they said basically the advertisements by the tourist industry are bogus. There's nothing clean and green about New Zealand, they say, when you're spraying chemicals on people.
Not anymore. That's right. One of the last true pristine areas on the planet, obviously under big attack. by these dirtbags.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was pristine for quite a while in our time frame, which is hard to find a landmass that's really not contaminated anymore, but that was one.
Yes. Now, they claim that they're destroying weeds.
Yeah.
Don't ask the deer about that, though.
That's right, Don, and all the other animals that are succumbing to it, of course. I just wish it would all backfire and on them and just wipe them out, but unfortunately, that's not going to happen just yet. But their time is coming. These dirtbags are going to go down. They're going to pay.
It's even affecting people's pets, their domesticated pets. And there is a particular portion of this documentary that shows that there's a local man there that has a dog or had a dog that contracted a dose of this 1080 and went into convulsions and died.
Mm-hmm.
And he filmed it, to show how his animal died.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
it's
sure.
Amazing.
It's very toxic. Yep. These are lethal poisons. And, they call them herbicides, but obviously they destroy more than just plant life.
Well, certainly.
And so they're really just poisons. There should be a skull and bones on that label, and that's all there is to it. Deadly to everything, not just plants. Now, it's very sad, very sad. Our poor planet's in the hands of just pure evil scum that are so hell-bent on their global agenda at all costs. They're just pathetic losers. Such big losers. No souls at all. Eternity's doors are never going to open for these losers. Their current incarnations, Don, are pretty much the end of the road for these scum when their time comes. No more opportunities be allotted to them from the good Lord. They've proven themselves to be worthless to the Almighty and His creation, and they will face total annihilation, the second death. That's the end result for these losers. And I just hope it happens soon rather than later for the sake of everything that's good left down here on this planet. Now, just this past week, I mean, mankind as well has to just, they have to stop being so selfish. I just have a flock of pigeons that come around every day as I feed all the birds around here. So over time, I've groomed a big flock of pigeons. And I take good care of all the birds and stuff. They have a good chance to build up their strength, and that way they can avoid the predators. And so the pigeons have really been flourishing. And in that big flock they're feeding and all, I realized that one just didn't seem right. And sure enough, I caught it. And as I was trying to figure out what might be wrong with it, I see a tag on a leg. I'm like, well, it's not one of these wild ones. Somebody owns it. And then I realized, holy gosh, the tag on the leg was too small. And as the pigeon developed and matured, the tag became so tight that the leg was so swollen. And this bird probably would have died within another week of a slow agonizing death as the leg kept swelling and then the other leg would swell and the whole body would just gradually, in anguishing pain, slowly die because circulation was going to be totally cut off. And so fortunately, I was able to catch it, and I cut the tag right off without harming it, and then I've been taking care of it ever since, and now it's able to walk and stand up, and the legs are returning to normal dimensions. The swelling is pretty much gone, and this bird's going to make it fine, but it's like, how could somebody just, okay, you want to tag it so you know it's yours, but come on, I mean, think of the poor creature when you're putting your tag on. Make sure at least it's not going to be too small by the time it matures. But people just don't care, Don. They have no regard for anything but their own selfishness. And it's just common occurrence today to see animals and other people suffering because of other people that are just selfish. And mankind's got to snap out of that, in general speaking. I know there's a lot of good people still. And that's why the good Lord is allowing us to continue existing down here. Because as long as there's good people, then there's something worth saving. But still, there's just so many people still that are just so selfish. All they care about is their own particular needs and wants and nothing else. And it's very, very sorry and sad to see this as we get older.
Well, there's obviously another agenda that nobody's talking about very much, you know, behind the scenes that's pushing for all of this. And it goes beyond this thing of New World Order. That's still a smokescreen.
Well,
you know,
go ahead, Dan.
As to the implications of what's really going on.
Right.
You know, the world is moving along the way it is. Just about every nation on the earth is repressed by the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about that a little bit on last night's show with Dr. A. Truat. If they can't have everybody within the grasp of their fiat money, you know, their fiat financial system, debt instruments, both the money and the usury credit system are debt instruments. That's all
right.
We have is debt instruments. So
right.
You can never, ever show a surplus, not with a corrupt system in place. You can't show it. It's never going to happen. It's not
yes.
designed to happen, and they don't intend for that to happen. So why would somebody do that? Why would they sabotage their own plan? Of course, you're going to affect everybody unless you have these 500 or so million people stashed away someplace in underground bases, and your plan is to destroy everything on the surface. Well, what's the reason for that? They can't manage the whole group of people that's here, the 6.7 plus billion? Doesn't make sense. So what is really going on? Who's coming here? Or
mm-hmm.
who is here? And who are they waiting for? That seems to be the scenario.
Very good, Don. That's correct. Ultimately, it's, of course, a spiritual warfare, and these Rockefellers and the Schwarzschilds, as I like to call them, they serve the Dark Lord himself, and that is Satan. And so that they know that the earth itself, God has his own agenda. He has his own New World Order. And that started off with the United States of America, a country without a king, an unprecedented event in the known history of this planet, a country without a king at its inception. It was mind-blowing 200 years ago. And today, most people don't even realize that. And so the good Lord's intention is to restore this planet to its rightful inheritance, because with God, all things are perfect. And if something isn't perfect, then it's imperfect, it's temporary by nature. Because with God, everything is perfect. And so our world, the planet Earth, our three-dimensional system that we're in, is imperfect, obviously, but therefore it's only temporary, and it's in our time frame that the Earth is going to be restored to wholeness and perfection, where all its creatures can dwell in peace and harmony. No more predators. No more shedding blood. That's all satanic activity. Feasting on blood and flesh is satanic. Period. And that's all going to end. Now, these dirtbags know all that. And in service to their Lord, they've got to try to establish his kingdom here before the opportunity no longer avails itself. And that's why they're rushing full steam ahead, hell-bent, on everything that's going on now to bring it about. Because their time is limited. And so ultimately, that's exactly what's going on here.
Yes, well said. Now, this brings about a prospect for people that have no intention of being in a war like that, under any circumstances. And yet their bogus pretext that, you know, terrorism and, you know, we have to stop these countries from doing what they do. There's documentation out there, and I've read it, where there's a specific protocol for the whole issue of nuclear arms and nuclear warfare. And this stuff is planned. There's a document that came out through the RAND Corporation, prepared for the United States Air Force in September of 1979, called American Nuclear Strategy, a selective analytic survey of threat concepts for deterrence and compellence. This is the book on extortion, international extortion and blackmail in regard to nuclear weapons. So they have their publications for quite some time. 31 years ago, this publication came out. And if I told you who wrote it, you wouldn't believe me. So I'm not going to tell you. But it's amazing what one finds in the course of a day.
So yes, Dan, especially well for you, which you're so apt at doing. And so this report from back then is already providing the planning for nuclear strikes, Don?
Oh, the whole concept of how to deal with the issue politically. You can imagine back in 1979 when this was requested, how do you base the experience of the person that wrote this unless they haven't been involved in planning wars before or steering countries down a path where if they don't do what they're told, they will have a nuclear war.
Yes. You see? Right. Okay.
That's the type of document this is. Mm-hmm. American Nuclear Strategy. This isn't about producing power. This is a selective analytic survey of threat concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Convention, right?
Much like the way the state of Israel operates today.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're loaded with nuclear weaponry, and they use it to intimidate all their neighbors.
For deterrence and compellence, not compliance, compellence. And this is the RAND Corporation. These are the people they have on C-SPAN in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, telling us what's going on in the world. Like, we need these people's advice.
Yeah, sure. Them along with the CFR.
So, again, just like the Project for a New American Century that preceded 9/11 called for another Pearl Harbor event to catapult us into a war against certain people whose operatives, who are nothing more than actors following a script,
That's right, same old MO.
Yeah, I mean, they go out into the desert with a camera, and they take a picture of somebody, and they tell you who it is. Now, probably the people in that country don't know who the guy is, you know, if they saw
right,
it on
that.
TV.
Sure. Right?
But no, this is the official bad guy that they're going to show us.
Yep, like Osama bin Forgotten.
Mm-hmm. And others, you know, they tried right. that for how many years?
Sure.
They keep that ruse. Well, they just finally gave it up this year.
Well, you know, Don, it just takes time before the American people's short-term memory then forgets, oh, yeah, it's Osama we've been after all these years now, isn't it? Osama who? Been forgotten. Sure, yeah. Don. Obviously. All BS.
But we forget BS. When he was dressed like a Western businessman visiting with Ted Gunderson, Ralph Olberg, Mike Conosciuto, and, of course, he went by the name of Tim Osman, mm-hmm. and they were working out deals for computer software and Red Mercury, of course, computers, cash, and Stinger missiles.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Chinese-made Stinger missiles.
Mm-hmm. And all the while, Osama's dad, Bin Laden's dad, is doing business with old man Bush, the old Kraut.
Yeah. Well, this meeting I just described took place in Sherman Oaks, California. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they say he's the world's most wanted man.
He used to reside in Long Island, too, while he was a CIA operative under that name.
Anywhere near Montauk?
Good question. I wonder. Good question. Probably visited it. I bet money on that.
Probably helped finance something there, too.
They may have very well.
And they were partners of the Bush family.
That's right.
We know that.
The Carlyle Group.
Yeah, that was documented a long time ago. So.
And that explains why right after 9/11, on 9/12, Boy George Bush allowed his entire, Bin Laden's entire family, which was at least 70 people or more, to quietly leave our country before we started to supposedly hunt down Osama Bin Laden.
Uh-oh, man.
Yeah, it's pathetic. It's so pathetic.
We have the distinction of being I think God has his hand in every country in some way or another, but the plan for how America was designed was definitely God-ordained. And we have that distinction as a country on this planet at this time. And we also have the distinction of being headed by the only short-legged Mac Daddy.
So. Yeah, how far we've come and off the path, off the trail that the founding fathers tried to get us established on. How far we deviated. It's unbelievable. But Don, what you just said is so important, and I hope that Americans start to appreciate the birth of this country and its sponsor, which was God. And yes, all countries have a sponsor, and it's usually angelic activity, just like with our country. Our angelic sponsor is Michael the Archangel himself, under the sponsorship of the Lord himself, Jesus the Christ, the King of the Angels, where all the other countries have various angels that sponsored them. And some angels weren't as good as others. And I always like to refer to the Old Testament in Daniel, where the angel approaches him, and it's Raphael, if I recall right, telling him that he's contending with the angel of Persia, but he can't defeat him. So therefore, he's going to call on the aid of Michael, the archangel. And so our country is so blessed to have the Lord himself as our sponsor, with Michael, the archangel, bringing it all about for the Lord. And that's why our country's been so greatly blessed, unlike any other country in the world. What more evidence do we need as Americans that we have been set aside like on a hill to be extra special of a country in modern times? And truly, our country from its birth rapidly grew rival the peers of the Western world and in the rest of the world in a short span of time. And no country's ever risen so fast and so far like that. And of course, this can only be because of God. Good blessings where people are prosperous. The land of milk and honey. What other country has been blessed more with milk and honey than the United States of America? Not even the original Israel from thousands of years ago had as much milk and honey as the United States does. And so good blessings can only come from the good God. And we need to really appreciate that and realize that we have a special mission, a destiny. And that's what really disturbs me about the Americans today, not fighting for their own rights and freedoms and their alliance and allegiance to the good Lord, and never allowing anything to interfere with our special relationship with the good Lord. And of course, if we don't live virtuously, then we'll never have any relationship with the good Lord, and he will have to cut us loose because we're not worthy of the good special blessings that he's been giving us and intends to continue to shower us with if we get back on the correct path that our country's intended to be on. And as a people, follow that path of virtuous living. And so we have a special destiny, very special. And it's a Christian heritage that I'm talking about here. And as Christians, we have to finally wake up and snap out of our delusions that just because you read the Bible and you think you're born again because you got a little glimmer of light and you go around hallelujah and that you're born again. Listen, you're not born again. It's a process. You just took the first steps. You have to commit and follow the rest of that path and truly become born again, a new person, a new spiritual being. It's a process, and it's real. And if you don't commit to it, then you're not a true Christian. If you don't pursue to understand what our King, Jesus the Christ, is all about, so you can really appreciate what he is all about, and therefore what we are all about, and what we are to become, then we're going to fail. We're going to fail miserably. And it disappoints me with so many Christians out there think, but Mike, how do you get that? It's not in the Bible. What makes you think that? It's like, if you don't realize as a Christian that the Bible's been chopped up so many times, edited so many times, and that the greatest story in the Bible is Jesus the Christ, his incarnation. And yet, in that New Testament, it's very limited. There's four Gospels. They primarily reiterate each other. And they're very brief. And we know the Lord was taught and said so much that it's way beyond those four limited books. So where is all that other information that we need to have so we can understand more about what the Lord is all about and what he requires and expects from us? Because he did say when the rulers of Judea at the time, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, which were lawyers, they tried to trap him, the priests and the lawyers, essentially, trying to trap Jesus, and so that at least the Romans would want to go after him. And when they showed him the coin of Tiberius and said, what should we do with this? And he goes, well, whose inscription on it? Well, it's Caesar's. Well, then render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. And that's what we have to understand. What does God want us to give him? That's key to our survival and our happiness. And once we understand what that is, and it's virtuous living, that's all it is. Good people with good hearts, always doing the right thing. Mainly always saying the right thing. Sure, we'll get short fuse sometimes in a situation, and we get upset, and we'll fly off the handle a little bit. But always, when we're in public and we're dealing with people and under all situations, we're always speaking properly, saying the right thing, thinking properly. And one of my favorite teachings of the Lord, which is not in the Bible, it's not easy to lift your eyes to heaven when all men can only gaze at the ground. Not easy to worship at the feet of angels when all men can only worship fame and riches. But most difficult of all is to think the thoughts of angels, speak the words of angels, and to do as angels do. That's a critical teaching that we all need to get because it's virtuous living. Those good angels live so virtuously, they're wonderful beings. You wouldn't want to be in any other company than theirs when you experience how incredible their lives are.
Not even IBM?
Forget the big corporations. They're a bunch of losers, bunch of egomaniacs, selfish people.
You wouldn't want to be in any other company. Okay, Goldman Sachs.
Absolutely not. They don't even come close. The good angels are such incredible beings, Don. To encounter them and to get acquainted with them, you're never going to want to be anywhere else ever again. They're phenomenal. And they're good. They're so good. And never selfish. Always on a mission serving their Lord and King. That's why as men, as knights, we have to really pursue what angels, good angels are all about. Just like the Lord instructed us. Because real good knights are like really good angels. Always on a mission for their Lord and King. Their selfish nature is never really in the way. Sure, we all have needs and wants. But doesn't the Lord know that? Doesn't he take care of that as we serve him? Of course he does. Like nothing else, he's so good of a Lord and King. And so as men, we have to here as Americans become men and get a knightly chivalrous code back into our being. treat women with respect, treat everything with respect, especially women, kids, and animals. Everything that is easy to hurt, they need the extra care. And never exploit them for any selfish purpose, no matter what it is. That's the beginning of manhood. And so we need to acquire this quickly. And then we'll become such a great country. And these Rockefellers and Schwarzschilds and all their attempts to influence us, to take us over, they'll never take root.
You know, the way we treat the earth is very important too. I mean, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but while you're speaking, I'm saying the same assault that's taking place upon women and children and animals, and I suppose we should include the elderly too, because the elderly
absolutely
have been abandoned.
Yes, and they're vulnerable. Anything vulnerable, Don, that's right. As men, we have to guard them, protect them from anything that's trying to exploit them, and absolutely the whole earth, Don. When I say animals, I'm really meaning all in nature. The animals, the birds, the animal kingdom, which includes the birds, all the wildlife, as well as the plant kingdom and the mineral kingdom. It's also precious to the Lord and His creation. They're all keys of God's holy order in creation. And that's right, Don. Especially older people and widows. Absolutely.
Now, your comments about angels caused me to recall my second near-death experience. And that event was, during that event, I was ministered to by four angels. And I tell you that I knew that these were some of the most powerful beings in the universe. Mm-hmm. And yet they were equally compassionate at the same time.
That's the beauty of them. They are incredibly powerful beings. And yet, so gentle and caring and compassionate, just like you said, Don. That's the beauty of their nature.
And, you know, that whole experience, I could do a week's worth of shows on that. But
that's right.
That's not what this show is really about. It's just to confirm or affirm what you're saying.
That's right, Don. And it's good to share that because everybody needs to understand that we are, as men, part of the angelic order. Mm-hmm. And we have to develop relationships with our angels, guardian angels, the angels of the earth, the angels of heaven. And the Lord taught all this. The good Lord is so amazing, so amazing. I wish that everybody could just know him at least as well as I did, because I know then everybody will always be at least as happy as I am. And he's just an amazing, amazing being. And the good angels that serve him are equally incredible. And it's part of our nature that's why, you know, we're all here looking for something. Everybody's out there looking. This is what we're supposed to find, our real self, which is our angelic nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will be incredibly powerful beings, and no evil will ever be able to touch us. That's the beauty of it. And the United States and its destiny is to have a people of that stature.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, our plight right now is the culmination of 230 years or so of repression and, you know, all designed to keep us from becoming aware of what's inevitable anyway. And
right.
That's what's occurring right now. That's what's got them panicking, is that
exactly.
They thought that their system had controlled us, and there are those of us who have been, I don't know if you would say asleep. We've just been sort of waiting in the wings. While we're again witnessing another series of events that have obviously been orchestrated to produce an outcome, and we're able to see that. When in our history before did we see these things and bring it to the forefront to the other people? Very little has been done in that regard.
Unfortunately, See, we're still in a world controlled by darkness, and every time the Lord sends out his light and tries to establish it somewhere, that enemy's ready to pounce on that light, because a little bit of light in a dark room is obviously easy to spot.
Yeah.
And so they pounce on it fast every chance they can.
Yes.
But as long as we're living,
don't like the light either.
What's that?
Cockroaches don't like the light.
That's right. That's right, Dan. Exactly. But as long as we live virtuously and they try to pounce on us, next thing they know, they can't. They can't touch us. That's the beauty of it. They can't touch us. And that ticks them off to no end.
Yeah,
but that's just how it is when you're under the Lord's protection.
Now, you're describing this process of us, you know, coming here, and we talk about that often on this show, coming here, and many people are having the realization that they're remembering something, or there are some that are trying to remember something. They're not quite sure what it is.
Right.
They have this uneasiness about leaving something undone, or knowing that there's something coming up that they're going to do, and they see a series of events that have transpired in their own lives, maybe the breakup of a family or the loss of a job or some kind of illness or the passing on of a loved one, and now they take on a lot more responsibility in their daily lives, and it becomes more difficult to pay attention to this spiritual aspect that you're describing. And really, that becomes one of taking responsibility and then making wise choices.
Mm-hmm.
You could say every choice you make is the correct one, because any way you make that choice, you're going to create the circumstances to learn a lesson.
Well,
you know, making the right choice is going to sort of signify that you've learned the lesson in that area where, you know, some people get caught up in a sort of a loop.
Yes, Don, exactly. And that happens because you're not making the correct choices. And therefore, the choice you made has now caused you to deviate off your path. And now you're looping around, you're winding around the mountain. Instead of climbing straight up the mountain to get to the top, now you're winding around the mountain, instead causing you much more time and energy and effort to get to that top. And that's why it's so important for us to really make sure we are making proper, correct decisions all the time, so that we don't waste time and find ourselves just going in circles.
Mm-hmm. And it requires action. And seems to be a lot of people aren't, let's say there's not enough of a fire burning under their rear end to make them take action.
Right.
So they allow things to sort of collapse until they mm-hmm. go into some emergency state. But then again, you know,
that's how we are.
Isn't that crisis management? That's how
sure
businesses are run today.
So, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Because when it comes to big businesses and corporations, they all got their heads someplace elsewhere instead it should be. And because of their selfish nature and the egos. And therefore, I could get into so many stories, my experiences at IBM, you'd be laughing and you say, I don't believe it, it can't be. And yet it's all true. And it's because you have all these empire builders in a huge corporation, you have multi-level management. And so all those levels of managers, all they care about is their own position, their own ability to move, advance ahead and make more money. And therefore have more power around them because they have their own little empires, their own little areas. And therefore they have to justify their existence to the heads of the corporation so they can continue to be funded and they don't get split up and reabsorbed somewhere else in the corporation. And so now you have a bunch of little empires competing against each other. And it's unbelievable. And I mean, you just wouldn't believe it. One time, for example, I don't want to deviate too much off this because it's important what we're saying, but here's just a little example. I was always in research and development, mainly after first starting off as a chemist in photolithography. Then I got into just all semiconductor engineering on the master slice side. There's master slice and personality. Personality is where you wire up the devices on the chip with metal depositions, and where in the master slice, you're building the transistors and the diodes and resistors, the incomplete integrated circuits that will eventually be wired up. So there's a guy named John Kelly III who's a real big shot now in the company. Well, he was my second-level manager for quite a while in R&D. And at one time when I was coming back out of the lab with a new chip technology, that was always for a computer about 8 to 10 years down the road. And I was assigned back into a manufacturing line to bring up this new chip technology, all covering all the master slice. So when I get over into this department, which was a photolithography department, I was told by that manager she just wanted me coding wafers on a wafer track back in photo. And I said, what are you, crazy? I'm here to bring up all the master slice for ATX4. She goes, I need you there. And I realized I was getting caught up in just politics of a little department. The engineer and the tech for that wanted to move on. They've been doing that job for a while, and they need somebody to replace it. And so they figured now's the opportunity. I'm coming over. And I said, hold on. There's a problem here, though. My job is ATX4 master slice. So I went to the second. Now, I was no longer under John Kelly's management when I went over into that line. But when I went over, John told me, because at one point in our, when I was talking with him one time when he was complimenting me on my my assignments, he said, look, Mike, if you ever get stuck in a corner, just let me know. So I said, okay, John, thank you. So sure enough, I'm over in this area. I go see my first level, my new first level, second level, and I explain to him the situation. And he says, well, I'll look into it and I'll let you know. So he gets back to me and says, well, that's where your first level says she needs you, Mike, on coding the wafers. So I got to go with her. And I'm like, what are you, all crazy? Who's going to look after ATX4 master slice? So I go see the third level. And I always upset the first level, then the second level, because when I tell them I'm going to see their management above them, their boss, they say, well, okay, but wait till I talk to them and prep them. And I never did. And so I see the third level, and I explain the situation. He goes, okay, let me look into it, Mike. I'll get back to you. And he says, Mike, from what I understand, this is where we need you, code and wafers. I said, what are you, all crazy? Who's going to look after ATX4 master slice? Now, a lady comes over from administration into the same department I'm in. Administration, she had no technical background. She didn't know a wafer or a chip from a wafer holder. She didn't know A level from B level to C level to E level. She didn't know a transistor from a resistor. She didn't know what a microscope, how to use a microscope, let alone anything else. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that that lady, and she was in her 50s at the time, I recall, she was given an assignment to all the ATX4 master slice in the line. And it was unbelievable. It's insanity. And sure enough, to wrap it up, just for the joke, the operators in the line working for manufacturing had a great rapport with, because many times I'd be in the line doing my job and they'd call me and say, Mike, if you get a chance, could you make a call on this job, get it moving so I don't get in trouble? Because for manufacturing operators, they got jobs in their sector. And if they're sitting there too long, they're in heat. They get the heat for it. Mm-hmm. So I helped them all out all the time, even though it wasn't even my job. But all my calls were 100% accurate, always the right call. The job always got the right step next. Whatever the problem was, I made the right call. And so now, well, I'm also working in the photo section again and caught up with a problem at the previous engineer and tech that I took over for. They had a problem in that sector that they were ignoring, and they let it all fall into my lap, and there was a lot of heat on me for that one because now I own that sector. And I seen all that coming as well in advance. And so while I'm taking care of all that, and then this poor lady that just joined our department from administration, she's crying in the line. She's got so much pressure. Everybody's saying, Pat, you got to make a call here. Patricia, you got to make a call on this one. And she'd be like, Mike, I don't want to bother you. And this was going on all the time. I was making all her calls for her because she didn't know anything. And that's a fact. That's how that company, that went on within that company. Insanity. And so the hell with all big corporations, they're all no good. And you have just a bunch of egomaniacs in management, and all they care about is their own well-being and not the well-being of the company itself. And that's just the way it is in our government. Bunch of good-for-nothing congressmen and senators and a president and the Supreme Court, for the most part, 99% of them, all into their own selfish well-being and not what's best for our country.
And they seem oblivious to that fact, too. They know
that
we're saying that on shows like this. They know that we're writing about this. There's certainly plenty of email out there that one can read to confirm that people happen to notice this. We're not that stupid. Where do you see this going in the coming weeks here?
Well, you know, and when I went back to John Kelly after the third level in that new area I was in told me the same thing, that you just got to coat those wafers and don't worry about ATX for master slice. I went back to the R&D lab and I went to see John and I said, John, I'm in a corner. Check these guys out over there. This is what they want me to do. And here's my assignment that I got from you guys to go when I went over into that line. He didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. And that's what we can expect from this crew that's running the show in our government. We can't expect anything. We have to get rid of them all.
You were backed into a corner in a circular room.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like the Capitol Records building in Hollywood.
Right, exactly. It's so pathetic. And that's why we got to vote all these losers out. Clean out the whole slate. They're not going to do anything. We'll bend their ear all day long. And they'll tell us, oh, yeah, we're going to do something for you. Don't worry. You're in a corner. We're going to be there for you. I represent you. All I care about is making sure your needs are met. And they're lying through their teeth. All they care about is themselves. And we have to oust them all. And
that's how they treat people in their own company. You know, imagine what they're capable of doing to a whole country or the world, given the opportunity to participate in a global scam, say,
that's right,
a cap and trade, for example.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And NAFTA and CAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on. That's absolutely right, Don. And well, that's why we have to clean house before they clean us out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we should wrap up the show here, Michael. I know we were going to try to talk about more of this stuff with one of your former employers. However, we can do that the next time you're on the show. And I appreciate you coming on the show on such short notice. And I want to encourage folks that, the reports are coming out. Every day I hear positive news about someone that's tried your private stock and, you know, your herbal remedies, and they're just delighted with the results that they get. So
that's great to hear.
Work in that area.
Thank you very much, Don. It's always so enjoyable to hear that, as I tell everyone when they thank me and compliment me, and I say, just thank the good Lord, because it's only because of him I'm serving him in this capacity, helping people and animals. And I just also had a great report locally. And this girl works for a guy that's very well known in the health field, very successful, very big. And she's close to him, works for him. And she came down with a real bad infection in the urinary tract, and really, really bad. It took a whole bottle of infection killer, because when she came over a couple nights ago, she said, do I need the whole bottle? And I said, I doubt it, because she's a young girl. I doubt it, but, you know, if you have to do it. And she just told me a little while ago that she was 100% just in a couple of days. She was really thanking me because she said, if it wasn't for you, Mike, I think I would have ended up in the emergency ward of the hospital. It was that bad. Because I said, you took a whole bottle, then it had to be real bad, because it's such powerful stuff. And But it's always great to hear that, and I always say, like I did to my friend tonight, I said, just thank the good Lord. Don't thank me. The good Lord gets all the credit for this activity. I'm just his little middleman. But I always enjoy hearing it. I love it. It's great to hear this. So thank you for that, Don.
Okay, Michael, and I want to thank you for filling in for Charlie Giuliani on Evident Footprints tonight, and I look forward to seeing you here again soon.
My pleasure, Don. Thanks again, sir, and God bless.
You too. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Also want to thank those at Wind Talkers Radio Network for airing this show. Over at BBS Radio, want to thank Don Newsom for tonight's audio, as well as Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in to bbsradio.com. If you haven't subscribed to the archives, I encourage you to do so. You can get usually within a short amount of time after this show finishes up, barring any emergencies at the studio, you should be able to get access to any and all the archives of Evident Footprints, as well as everything else on bbsradio.com. Let's see. Tomorrow night, my special guest will be former Kansas State Trooper and current talk show host and also internet journalist extraordinaire, none other than Dr. Greg Evenson. So you don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.